All right, guys. You ready?
Monica.
Oh, okay. There's an extra one. I think this is probably Letty's doc.
No, they all got one.
Letty got it too?
No.
Oh, you picked it up for Letty? This? Okay, all right. That's an extra one.
Okay. I have a hilarious story about it. Hilarious.
All right. We are... Who's missing? Monica. Where's Monica? Okay.
Armando, this was really good to get. Thank you.
No problem.
Excellent.
And we could adjust it. When
yeah.
We
I'm glad you thought to get this.
Mm.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
Did you get the little poster
tonight?
Hmm? Did you get the
Oh, I'm not going to be able to go to this tomorrow. Are you guys?
The
teacher luncheon?
We're registering.
Yeah,
can I take your invitation?
Sure.
Yeah, me and Monica made it the last year or two. So it's a new choice.
Teachers. It's nice to go to. All right. All right, Tony, the time is 8:44 p.m. The board has concluded agenda item 9, and we are now going on to the next agenda item.
Item 6B, adequate daily progress report, Mr. Warren.
Mr. Warren.
For President Coronado, board members, and Dr. Murphy, thank you for having me this evening. I'd also like to thank you for having me next, and because I have to return this to my cousin who has a job interview tomorrow.
Nice. Thank you.
Tonight, I'll be speaking to you about the 2011 preliminary AYP Adequate Yearly Progress Report, giving you an overview of the MGOIC status.
Gustavo, why don't you come up and clicky-click and down click.
If you would, that would be fantastic.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question before we get started?
Sure, Lori.
What is safe harbor?
Safe harbor is if our pass rate doesn't make the amount needed to show that we made adequate yearly progress, then safe harbor is put in place to show that we are at least making progress towards the goal.
Okay.
And I will be explaining that a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Is that just
sorry,
the,
Stuart.
Is that what the education department just said this week or last week?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The waiver? No, it's different. Okay.
Safe Harbor is part of the AYP program, or is it state?
It's part of the federal program, and so that is at the very end of this as well. I'm going to show you a brief example of what they were talking about when it comes to the waiver. Although that's still kind of vague on what they're going to do with the waiver, but at least to let you know that there's progress being made with AYP. AYP is a federal way of checking to see how well we're doing it in the schools. And at the end of the presentation, I think you'll see that even the feds are kind of saying, you know, we know that we're a recognized district, and then we still have to prove. It just looks weird. We're a recognized district, and then in the state, we're not meeting AYP in certain areas, so it just kind of throws it off. And even the state, the feds are showing that they are realizing that at this point.
Thank you.
Gustavo, you're going by power.
Nick.
I'll just do this. So earlier, I believe it was last week, I submitted to the board a few slides just to let you know where we are preliminary with the AYP results, and showing that we did have a few that did miss AYP, and what I would like to do tonight is kind of explain to you why we missed AYP. Even when we get the preliminary results from the state, they show you the numbers, but they, and then they won't show you exactly why or how you missed, but I'll give it to you, I'll explain to you so that you can kind of see by the numbers how it works. And so if you can go to the next slide, Gustavo, please. That was also included in the board packet, the 2011 AYP breakdown by campus, and that was basically a spreadsheet that I provided to Dr. Murphy in cabinet, and I don't know if he had shared that with you at that point, but that was during the prelim. I used this to kind of get a gauge of where we were by taking all of our testers and how they passed or who passed and who didn't, and then once the official results came out, or the preliminary results came out, I then changed those numbers that I used for prelim and put in what the state gave us so that we can have a more accurate representation of how we fared. So I'd like to start with the elementary schools, and if you can go to next slide, and one more. Thank you, Gustavo. First of all, to celebrate that we did have quite a few of our campuses that did meet AYP, and not only met it, but if we can take a look at Bill Children's first tier, we'll just talk about the all-student subpopulation just in general to show you that we, for reading, Bill Children's was 7% over the 80% target, the AYP target of 80% in reading, and they were 11% over the 75% target in math. So they are doing a phenomenal job at Bill Children's. Kami 2 Elementary also met AYP. They were 6% over their 80% target in reading, and 10% over their 75% target in math. Deanna Davenport, 7% over in the reading, and 13% over in 75% for the math.
Yeah, if I just comment there, our north end, I mean, Deanna Davenport and Bill Childress both recognized without any type of hype on the TPM or anything like that last year, recognized again this year, and meeting AYP. Davenport and Bill Childress are just hitting it on all cylinders right now. Very, very pleased.
The next, Gonzalez Sophia Garcia Elementary, again meeting AYP, 12% over in the reading and 15% over the math target.
And on Garcia, last year there was concern because they didn't make recognized. This year, recognized and AYP proficient. Very pleased.
Also on that report that I had given you, you noticed as you go down further, that there's some areas in red that show needed safe harbor, and these elementary schools did it completely on their own. Fantastic, fantastic job. The next would be Jose Damian, again, at AYP, reading 12% over in the all-student subgroup, and math 20% over the 75%. They needed 75%, and they were at 95% for math. Amazing. If I can now talk about the middle schools, and we can look at LaSalle at the middle. I would like to point out that we are showing them as missing AYP, but if you notice, they still are 3% over the 80% target for reading and 11% over 75% target for math. So still, there are positives to this. As I go further on, I kind of explain why AYP and how we missed it. I think you'll see that these campuses on their own are doing very well and they're moving forward.
So, and let me just explain. So if you just let your eyes go fuzzy there, that slide actually looks just like the elementary slides. They're over their targets, 3% on reading and 11% on math, similar to the elementaries. It isn't that they aren't hitting their marks on their scores. It has to do with the subpops, especially the special ed, and those types of things. But in the overall, these schools are progressing. And true to form, Alvarete did make recognized due to that. It's simply, it's in the minutia where they're not hitting it in AYP.
Yes, sir. And when we talk about subpops, I did have a slide that I took out, but there you have to have a certain number or percentage of kids to even make the subpopulation. It has to be 50 and 10% of the all-student population. And so in some areas, you will see that there are no sub-pops included there, and that's the reason why. But if we look now into José Alderete, and I can show you where they had 214 kids out of the 295 passing, which gave you 73% pass rate. In 2010, their pass rate was 72. So they only, and this is rounded off, so there was a 0.5 percentage point gain there. They needed 2.8 to make safe harbor. And so when you asked about safe harbor insurance, this is how it works for safe harbors. They take 100% minus the previous year's gain, so 72. So 100 minus 72 over 10 to give you 2.8%, mm-hmm. meaning from the previous year, you need to make 2.8 percentage point gain to meet safe harbor. If you do meet safe harbor at that point, then you, even though you didn't make 75%, or what in this case it would be 80% to meet the target, you're still making progress towards that target from the previous year.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now if we can take a look at Canutio Middle, they also missed AYP. But again, if you'll notice in reading, all students 3% over the 80% target, and 7% over the 75% target for math. Again, still doing well. And if we delve a little deeper to understand the AYP and what happened with them, there were actually two categories that they were missing AYP on. The first one is the LEP measure. And so what that is first we'll measure LEP students, which is just a current student. If there's over 40, then it goes into what's considered LEP measure. It's automatically counted as a LEP measure where they count all your current first and second year LEP students. So it's not just current at this point. Now we're looking at current first and second year for LEP measure. They had 149 kids pass out of 207 for a gain, or for the percentage met at 72%. But if you'll notice, in 2010, they were at 73, so they actually had a lot. They lost a percentage point. And they needed 2.7, obviously they weren't going to be able to get that, so there was no safe harbor that we could apply to theirs. And if you look at their reading, economically disadvantaged, it's the same story, 78% met, so they were under 80, so we were gonna try to see if they could do safe harbor, but they were at 79 last year, so that's a percentage point decrease. Again, there was no way to apply safe harbor for them. If we look at the high schools now, Northwest, missed AYP. Reading, their reading though was 60% over the 80% target. They did struggle a little bit with the math portion. They were only 1% over from the previous year, but that's still a gain. But if we look down further now to why they missed AYP, for their Hispanic population, they were at 73%. Again, that was a decrease of 2 percentage points rounded. So they needed 2.5 to gain safe harbor, they could not make that. And then they're economically disadvantaged, they were at 73, and the previous year they were at 77, so they dropped 4.5. So there was no way to apply anything in safe harbor for them. Canutio High School did meet AYP. And Canutio High School is 4%, and this is interesting, they were 4% over their target for reading, but they were 4% under their target for math. However, if you look down into their AYP and how they did it, their gains were from 71%, all students 71%, from 61%. They went up 9.7. They only needed 3.9. In Hispanic, they were at 71%, again up from 61%, 3.9. And they're economically disadvantaged from 59% to 68%. They were up 8.5, they only needed 4.1. So they well passed what they needed for safe harbor. They are to be commended for that, because that's really a lot of work there. If we can take a look at Canutio ISD now. We missed AYP. We missed AYP in reading, but we didn't miss it in math.
I'll talk about that.
Well, I'm going to just read this one, and then the next slide we'll go into to math, and then I'll go into detail about reading.
Showing that we're over the target.
Yes. We're 6% over the 80% target in reading, and 10% over in math. 10% over the 75% target in math. If we look further into the math, I'll do the math side first, because we've made safe harbor with math. Out of 254 students taking the test, 174 passed to give us a 69% point met. The previous year was 65%. We needed 3.5%. It was a 3.5% point gain that we had from the previous year, and we needed exactly 3.5, so we made Safe Harbor. So we did pass in that, according to AYP. But if we look at the next slide where we talk about reading, for reading, and we had, let me go to the LEP measure first. You'll notice again, the LEP measure was 79% met, and in 2010 it was at 77%. We needed 2.3, and again, we ride on the money, we hit 2.3, and we were able to make Safe Harbor. So here's the difference though. We missed because we had for SPED, we had 253 takers and 173 passers, giving us 68%. And we were at 65 the previous year, and we needed 3.4. We were only 3.4, we needed 3.5, so we didn't make Safe Harbor. But this is why I wanted to share this part with you, because this falls under the federal cap. Now, if we can go to the next slide, please. And one more, thank you. Essentially what happened is that we have the 1% federal cap and then the 2% federal cap. And the state says you can be able to test kids, there should be a certain amount, not a very high, just 1% of your entire testing population should be testing Taxol. And then you have a 2%. If you think of a bell curve on the 2%, for the 2%, that's anybody that can take Taxim and you shouldn't have anything that goes over it. Now this is based off of previous history where other districts have said, okay, we have a way now. We know how we can just shove all of our kids into Taxim, and this happened in the past in different places, and so the state said, okay, we know what we'll do. Test as many people as you want, but then we're gonna reassign those kids as failures to you at the end. So even if you go over your federal cap, they reassign them as failures.
Right, and let me just step in here. This is so, it's not the state, it's the federal.
Yes, sorry.
So we have the tax test, and then we have these off, we have these exams, Taxim and Taxol, which are for special education students, more severely handicapped, especially the Taxol students. And, you know, the district can't really control how many severely handicapped students come into the district. And so you get the students who come, and then you give the exams based on the ARD, depending, you know, this student is severely handicapped, Taxol, moderately handicapped, Taxim, disabled, I guess is the correct term. And so you assign the test based on what is best for the student. The problem is that the federal cap says, assign all you want, but we're only going to give you credit for 2% of your total population. And if you have 2.5% of your total population that's severely disabled, that 0.5 is going to be failures. Whether or not they pass or not, we are going to assign it as a failure. And so if you have more than 2%, so then you get in this ethical dilemma of, well, do you make the kid take the harder tax test when really they probably should take the lower test? Or do you do it what the kid really needs, you give them the test that the kid really needs, and then you suffer the consequences from the federal cap. And what John's going to show you is we suffered the consequences by one student by missing A1P.
Yes, sir. And honestly, you can see in the results when I show you that what was the testing that was being done, even though it was over the federal cap, by the campus level, nobody was over. It didn't feel like anything was over. As a matter of fact, you're taking notes about this, I shouldn't say this, but I told Dr. Murphy and Cabinet, I think we're great, because I was thinking just by campus level, nobody was over the cap. And then he said, to his credit, go check that and make sure. And then I didn't realize that as the aggregate, when it all was compiled together for the district number, that's when we were like, whoa, okay, yeah, we were over the federal cap. So if we can go to the next slide. Well, I'm sorry, let's go back one just briefly, and I'll show you that out of the total compiled number of testers, 3,107, and it just happened to be equal for math and reading. Out of those kids tested, there was 24 Taxol tested in reading and math, which equates to the 1%. They were within the federal cap. But if you look at Taxim, we had 97 and 84, and that put us into 3%. So that's where we had to go over for the cap. Thank you, guys. Okay, go to the next slide. I won't go into detail into this slide unless there are questions that you have, because I did send it in the packet. So if you have questions, by all means, please ask me. but I know you're short on time. But the bottom line is, based off of all of the compiling of all the testers, and it is an April swing testers, non-duplicates, and then the May testers, we had five extra testers that came in May. They weren't part of the retest groups. Everything all together, we ended up with being 30 over the federal cap for reading and 20 over the federal cap for math. And so if we can go to the next slide, please. What I've done, on the bottom of that chart that I had sent you originally, I don't know if you recall, but it said SPED 173, and then I had a red line that went down, and then add back 2% federal cap reassigned to the, from the artificial failure. So I added 30 back to those 173, because in reality, we had 203 passers out of the 253 takers. See how it did us wrong. So if you look now, if we were to apply that, and it's 203 out of 253, we're at 80.2% pass rate for SPED for that sub-op. Last year, we were at 65 percentage points. So that was a gain of 15.2 if we wouldn't have the cap pulled back. So we wouldn't even have needed to apply for Safe Harbor for that. We would have just made that outright, basically. Okay, if I can go to the next slide, please. Now, here's what Dr. Murphy was telling you about. If I were just to take that 173 and just add one student as a passer, just one kid, so from 173 to 174, that gives us a percentage bet at 68.8, and we would have been, the game would have been 3.8, we would have been 3.5, and we would have made Safe Harbor for SPED. That's how close that was. And that really, that number is very telling, because that tells you that it's not really a number that we didn't just go test anybody to try and work the system. These are things that were done for the benefit of the kids, and the teachers and the people that put them in those testing rooms, they did it for a reason. So now, the last part that I'd like to share with you, Mr. Rodriguez, this is in reference to what you were asking about. If you could pick one more, Gustavo. On June 12th of 2011, Arnie Duncan, who's the Education Secretary, was frustrated by what he called a slow-motion train wreck for U.S. schools. He said that basically he was talking about AYP and said, No Child Left Behind, said he will give schools relief from federal mandates under the No Child Left Behind law if Congress drags its feet on the law, on the law's long-awaited overhaul and reauthorization. And this was in June. Yesterday, he said, he came out again, and this is taken from ABC News yesterday. With efforts to overhaul No Child Left Behind stalled in Congress, the White House today announced that it will offer state waivers from the federal education law so long as they show progress in making educational reforms. So if we can go one more time, Jess, and ask Back. I do want to show you just this one brief clip.
I previewed it. It's 30 seconds long.
It is, I promise.
Without it.
Educate our way through a better economy. That's the only way we're going to get there. We need more highly trained, highly skilled workers. We need to keep raising standards, raising the bar. Over the past 2.5 years, I would argue you're seeing unprecedented leadership at the state level. 44, 45 states raising standards. 3 dozen states removing barriers to innovation. A huge amount of leadership and courage, not so much coming out of here in Washington, but at the state level. We now have a law that impedes that progress, that impedes that reform, that doesn't stand in the way of the courage we're seeing around the country. The law, No Child Left Behind, as it currently stands, is 40 years overdue for being rewritten. It is far too punitive, it is far too prescriptive, led to a dumbing down of standards, led to a narrowing of the curriculum. And so what we want to do is put forward a very simple trade-off. Where there's a high bar, where folks are really doing the right thing for children, we want to give them a lot more flexibility, frankly, get out of the way, and let them hit that higher bar.
That was yesterday.
Didn't I say that? A month ago.
And I just wanted to share that with you because a lot of, you know, it's hard. We're a recognized district. We're doing amazing things here in County2IC. And then you look at AYP and people might say, well, what's going on? You guys aren't doing as well as you. And I think it says a lot when you have Arnie Duncan come out and say, we know that this thing it's got problems and we need to fix it. And in a way, he's saying that our state is doing what we're supposed to do to gauge how well our kids are doing. And so I wanted to share that with you. And I thank you for your time. And if there's any questions,
Didn't you have one more piece?
No, I think the last part is...
There's a bar graph.
Stop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, there is a bar graph. I got ahead of myself.
Only two slides.
Yep, just two more slides. I'm sorry, Dr. Murphy. Thank you for reminding me. There's the last thing that I wanted to show you, and I shared this with the Leadership Academy earlier, and I just thought this was important to show too. Last year, we had the Texas projection measure. And so when we got our results this year, we were looking at like 90, if you look at reading, 93% last year to 87% this year. 86% in math to 83% this year. 97 to 93 in writing, 88 to 79 in science, and 98 to 95 in social studies. But that's not a true picture because that was based off the TPM numbers that had, they would add additional students that were projected to pass. So what I think would be nice for you guys to see, and to kind of close this out, is if we can go to the next slide that shows that we actually made some significant gains. We went reading from 86 to 87 percentage points, math 78 to 83, writing 94 to 93, a small tick down, so still some work to do with writing, but science 75 to 79, and social studies 93 to 95. That's a true picture of Canyon TOISD. That's what we need to understand. This is where we are in testing, and now I will say thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I hope my cousin gets the job.
All right, guys, any questions? I have a question on the 2%. What is where does the 2% based on?
Special education students.
Well, I know, but how do they get the 2%?
The 2%
say that it's based on your 100% population. They say 2% can test off level of your entire population. Correct?
Even though that's not
true. If you have three, they take the 1% extra and they say, well, they all fit.
Regardless.
And that was right there, where it shows that little gray area, that's the actual amount of testers. So it's based off the entire testing population. That's where they give you the 1% federal cap was set at 31, and then the 2% was at 62. It's 2% of the total tested population.
What I'm saying is that they really have no basis for that 2%.
No.
It's just like...
I agree with you completely. I'm not a big fan of saying that somebody's going to do 100% of anything. I think it's nice to have a goal that says, like I can say, my goal is to be a Navy SEAL and I'm going to work all my life to be a Navy SEAL, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. It's nice to have a goal, but then it's,
All right, guys, any questions?
I just have one.
Monica.
Mr. Warren, kids that are coded with the LEP measure, are those kids in fact testing in English and Spanish, or both, or one or the other?
That's in both languages.
In both languages, yes. English and Spanish, but they're coded limited English proficient.
Correct.
Okay. Well, okay, but we only do the, first of all, Spanish testing is only in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowed after that. And so the Spanish testing is only grades three, four, and five.
And six, no?
In six, but we have stopped testing sixth grade.
Okay.
No, it doesn't exist for sixth grade.
Anymore, it doesn't even exist. Oh. We stopped, and it doesn't exist.
So that would include the testers and then the retesters when they get their second opportunity. And if they pass, then their scores are replaced.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, guys. One student. I don't pay much attention to the federal record. Agenda item, Tony.
Item 7 is a consent agenda, and we'd like to note that administration has withdrawn item P from the consent agenda for the contract with Kilgo Consulting for staff development. Item 7A, consider approval of board meeting minutes of June 28th, July 12th, July 18th, July 26th. The financial warrant and warrant list for June 1st through the 30th, 2011, in the amount of $594,698.91. Budget amendments, acceptance of donations, annual extension of solid waste disposal services, RFP 0916, with El Paso disposal in the amount not to exceed $160,000 for the third year of a five-year contract, and includes a 3.56 CPI increase over the last year as allowed by the RFP. Annual extension of pest control services, RFP 0809, in amount not to exceed $35,000. With no increase for the fourth year of a four-year contract with Watson Pest Control. Purchase of 840 cases of copy paper from Office Depot for district-wide use in a total amount of $23,427.60. Approval of purchase of vehicles for facilities from Philpott Motors in a total amount of $141,807.56. Utilizing the TASP by Board Purchasing Cooperative Contract Number 35810. Purchase of equipment for Transportation Department from O'Reilly's Auto Parts utilizing Region 19 Purchasing Cooperative, bid 086252 in the total amount of $10,981.06. Purchase of 15-foot utility box truck for warehouse services utilizing the TASB Buy Board Purchasing Cooperative Contract 35810 from Philpott Motors in the amount of $43,368.75. Contracted services with Jill Gomez for visually impaired services at an hourly rate of $50. Contracted services with Ramona Potis Snow for speech-language pathologist services at an hourly rate of $55. Contracted services with Sandra Medina for speech-language pathologist services at an hourly rate of $55. Renewal of annual subscription for Renaissance Place Software Accelerated Reader Enterprise in the total amount of $18,531. From Renaissance Learning, purchase of Cisco Curriculum Alignment Tool in the amount of $56,338. Purchase of electronics for new portables at Northwest Early College High School from Desert Communications in the total amount of $15,215.25. Purchase of textbooks from Barnes & Noble for Northwest Early College in the total amount of $79,204.30. Utilizing CSP 10-09 instructional materials. Purchase of furniture from Northwest Early College High School from Business Interiors in the total amount of $29,654.44, which includes delivery and installation. And purchase of textbooks from UTEP Bookstore from Northwest Early College High School in the amount of $14,550.
All right. Before I entertain a motion on the consent agenda, would any member like to have any of those items pulled for separate discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of item P.
I so moved.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second on the consent agenda. Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Corrado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado, if I may?
Yes.
I just want to make a comment on acceptance of donations.
Yes.
I just wanted to recognize the facilities division employees. I attended a memorial service for Mr. Ray Villalobos along with Dr. Murphy, and these gentlemen planted a tree in his memory, donated the tree, and that speaks mountains to me. I just wanted to recognize
them. And I want to add to that, that was a wonderful ceremony, and thank you. And I know the facilities department are equally happy in that we just approved them some pickup trucks. Yeah, there's Bob, Ernesto and Pablo. Thank you very much. And Board, thank you for getting them that equipment.
All right. Quick point. Highlight that, Patsy. All right. Next agenda item.
Item 8A, consider approval of 2011-12 Board Superintendent Goals. Dr. Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the superintendent's goals.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 8A. Any discussion or comments?
President, through the chair, I'll just simply say thank you. And we went over this in workshop quite extensively the last time we met. So the audience, it seems like they're not considering. We spent 2.5 hours considering the last time we met.
That's right.
We could.
All right. Any further discussion? Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
All right. 8B.
Consider approval of inter-district student transfer tuition waivers for 2011-12 school year. Mrs. Armendariz.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to approve the tuition waivers.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Agenda item 8B, to approve the inter-district student transfers tuition waivers for 2011-2012. Any comments, questions from the board?
President, through the chair.
Doc?
I think a board member had a question for Margarita about one of them.
Actually, what I had a question was on... When requesting the information, you asked for you asked for a driver's license, correct, on the registration?
Yes, that is one of them, but they can also bring a utility bill from the electric company or a contract from their landlord. So all those are
valid. What my concern was, I heard that if we were getting a driver's license that was out of town or out of the area, then we wouldn't be allowed to waive it unless you have the same process that's in policy, whether it has an affidavit or something like that.
Yes, and an affidavit is required for those parents to prove residence.
But if you had, let's say, a New Mexico driver's license and the parent had a New Mexico driver's license, policy was to not accept it unless they lived in the district and had that affidavit.
No. As long as they could prove residency.
Yeah,
okay. that was the key point on that.
Okay, I guess my concern was that I heard that we had some that couldn't prove the residency. Are we making sure all of them prove residency in the district?
The last debate that we've been having registration and with the new setup, we have been just making sure that everybody could prove residency. And it could be any document, like the electric and the ones I just mentioned, or the landlord, or a contract, some people that are buying homes, and if they could bring us, you know, documentation of that, all that has been accepted.
Okay. That should be it for you, Mr. President.
All right. Anybody else? Patsy.
Ms. Amendariz, do you foresee any more students coming through under the
pandemic? Yes. Two have come after this was submitted Monday and today. This whole group of students, they all are returning students. They've been with us in the district. And if you want to see, we do have a paper here where I went and looked up the years that all the students, you know, have been coming. Most of them have 3, 5, 7 years that they've been with us.
So next month you'll be submitting another list?
Yeah, the very next meeting that we have, or meeting, there will be more students there will be presenting to you.
Thank you.
Margarita, if you have students who show up to where they have to start school before there's a board meeting, do you allow them to start school until there's a board meeting?
Yes, on condition.
On condition.
On condition, and the parent knows that.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
Item C.
Consider approval of purchase of 2 14-passenger school buses. Mr. Gatlin.
Mr. Chair, make a motion to approve the 2 14-passenger school buses as presented by administration.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second on agenda item 8C. Any comments or questions?
I do. What about Lori? The color?
Yeah.
The buses are going to come stock from the factory white, and then we're going to probably have maybe somebody put logos on it, whatever the district wants to put on as far as logos, and style it up a little bit to the way we want to do it. So You may want to consider adding a little extra money to that to make that happen. It'll probably be less than $10,000. You probably won't have to bring it to the board, but if you want to go ahead and add that now, we can certainly do that. It's up to you.
And Mr. Galton, there seem to be different interiors.
Yes.
Which interior had
to be? Going to get it with the vinyl seats.
Oh, very good.
We feel that's going to be better in the long run and hopefully better for the students.
And how will they be powered? Gas, diesel?
They're going to be gasoline.
Gas, okay.
The reason behind that, if they have to go out of town, they will be able to find gas stations a little bit more readily, easily than they would with diesel.
There was also a timeline issue with the diesel.
Right. It'll take about up to 6 months to get the diesels in. And they're quite a bit more. They're almost $10,000 more for a diesel.
Okay. And Chair, Mr. Gatlin, let me ask you a couple of questions. The price on these, per is what?
Let's see here. It's $50,580 each.
Okay. And $50,500. So your recommendation for graphics and interior upgrades would be what per bus? $10,000 per bus?
I don't think it would be near that, but if you want to approve it just in case. I got a quote today for some of the options we were looking at earlier. Okay. That was about half of what they were wanting to charge here from the factory. Mm-hmm. So we can definitely get a better deal by going locally to get this stuff.
Okay.
So if we add $10,000 per bus just to get us a ceiling, just add $20,000 above the cost.
I think that would be plenty.
That would get us the logos, the paint, the interior upgrades.
What?
Well, we wouldn't spend, I mean, there's two, first of all. I think one of the vendors that we've talked to said about $5,000 per bus to get it all done with the logos and the paint and the screening and the whole thing. And then we want to do some interior upgrades for long trips.
The ice chest?
No, but along those lines, we do want to get a media package in these buses. They come very, very
soon. We saw that in the picture.
And we can get it cheaper if we do it locally as opposed to this vendor.
We can get it almost half the price to get two screens instead of just one.
Okay.
So if administration requests $10,000 per bus over, $20,000 for the package, understanding that would be a ceiling, and hopefully we'd be able to come much under it.
And will you come back to the board for approval for what's going to be on the buses?
If it's over $10,000?
No, I just mean the
look. Oh, you just want to see it?
Design.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, design.
Look. Okay, uh-huh. Absolutely. And we're also going, we have some vendors within our, we have multiple vendors within our school district that does this work.
Mm-hmm. You're asking for $10,000, you can have to amend it, right?
Yeah, $20,000 over the purchase price of the entire project.
I'll make an amendment, my motion as presented by our administration. Who's second?
I'll amend my second.
You'll amend your second? All right, let's vote on the amendment to the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. All right, the amendment goes through. We're now on the amended motion to approve the purchasing of 14 passenger school buses in the amount of $50,580 each plus $800 per purchase order fee, which would be for the two buses, plus $20,000 above that for the accessories that will be purchased for the buses and the logos. Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Question. Colors of the seats.
I think they're...
You can tell these are very important questions.
I think they're blue. They're pretty close to our Galaxy of blue also. Maybe a little bit darker, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw the white vinyl. I'd rather have if there's another color, because the white I know is going to look...
Disgusting.
Yeah, after a while, they're going to look really...
On the white seats?
The white vinyl seats. I saw some of the pictures.
They're not white either.
Smurf blue.
Yeah, there's those white vinyl seats, but they got the ribs in them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we need to ask for a dark color vinyl.
Yeah, let's ask for dark...
It's going to be a blue similar to this blue right here.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, let's not, if we have an option, let's not get the white vinyl or the light.
Right.
Maybe the darker blue. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Board?
Yeah, I'm Texas orange.
And the dealer is going to supply that with chrome wheels.
All right.
Instead of just the painted wheel.
Chrome wheels. They spin? They seem spinning.
How about no?
All right, I think the board's getting off track here.
This is exciting.
Yeah, it is.
These are very exciting.
Well, when you've had nothing but cars to transport kids for different kinds of stuff in the past, or a little minivan.
What about the maroon?
And we've never had anything like this.
You should have been in the Dodge red van.
Yeah, the maroon van. Yeah. I think it's still here.
Only auction the Dodge.
No, y'all should have seen when I was in high school.
15 passenger bus vans anymore.
When I was in high school, our golf team.
I am allowed to drive.
And I was in.
Yes.
When I was in high school, we had a car that the golf team had to use. And written all over the steering wheel in marker, okay, was, you know, do not drive over 45. 45 equals 55. In other words, the speedometer was on. And they kept putting signs on the signs. They'd cross out the 45 and add different because.
And no air conditioning.
Yes, and no air conditioning.
These will have air conditioning.
Yes, they will.
Yeah. All right, I think we've beat this one too.
Yeah.
Tony.
No.
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Strauss?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Consider approval of first reading of TASB Update 90.
Motion to approve the first reading of TASB Update 90.
Second.
The motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item 8D. To approve the first reading of TASB Update 90. Any comments or questions from the board?
I do have a question.
Lori.
On page, I think it's page 163, BBD Local says Dr. Murphy is going to get the public information coordinator training. From Gustavo?
I could give that training, Ms. Searles. But I'd be happy to go.
Now, Dr. Murphy. It just says you have to do this here. And that was my only question.
All right, and if staff could coordinate my getting that training, let me know. I'd be happy to attend. Hopefully it's at Maui.
We'll take our new bus.
All right. Any further questions? All right. Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right. Agenda item E.
Discussion and possible action regarding RFQ for architectural services for 2011 bond projects.
All right.
Fourth President Coronado,
members. Mr. Armendariz.
Dr. Murphy. Item E is for discussion for the board, board's pleasure to direct administration to go on for RFQs for architectural services.
All right, board, I'll take comments, suggestions on how we should go about the RFQ for the architects. Mr. Rodriguez?
We have done one. We have discussed this at our committee meeting on Thursday. We discussed with sort of what the administration's recommendation, come up with the timeline, and then go with, of course, the elementary school being one project, the other campus, and or small other projects put together depending on how it looks, and that's what we have discussed on the last meeting.
That's correct.
And then, does that include the regulation? Is that what sort of we discussed about going with the how we do for the house services as well as this, where the committee set up? So I recall from the last time we went out that we had an administrative right and I had asked Dr. Murphy to provide it, and so I don't know if we all have that. There's some adjustments we can make to it, depending on what the board, I thought sort of what we do for the health benefits where we have two or three, no more than three board members in that committee where it has a responsible party on three, we can include, or where we would have two or three. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like we had on the RFP for the insurance.
Yeah.
About so, 4 or 5 years ago that we did.
And so this pretty much has all the framework looking at it. Just I would like to include at least two of the more than three because of law.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good idea so that we can keep the presentations down to a minimum at the when they come to the board, the recommendations. And that way, at least some of the board members have already seen the presentations from some of the respondees, I guess.
Yeah, the other thing, and or we could put somebody from the Facilities and Finance Committee, or we could have it where we have two or three here, and then they give those recommendations to Facilities and Finance. And we talked about also, once they do that, if we needed them present, because remember last time they weren't present?
Yes.
So we just had to make a decision on not knowing what. So that's something that
well,
they should be present.
Let's discuss, first off, the process, I guess, in terms of the committee. Is the board okay with doing the process as similar as we did for the health insurance, which was about 4 years ago? I know some of you weren't on the board back then, but what we basically did is we, I think the president appointed two or three members to the committee. They sat through the presentations along with the rest of the committee, which was administration, made up of administration, and between that committee recommended the top X finalists, five finalists, whatever the board wants, finalists to present to the board. And then those then would come and present to the board, and then the board would decide who to pick for the projects. Lori.
Many, I know this is very hard to answer, but just, you know, your professional opinion. How many people do you think will apply? 5, 10?
Yeah, you could be talking about 10 at this time.
10.
Things are kind of slow, although it's Coro and us. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that really are putting out some RFQs out there.
So it could be.
I know 10. We're going to get a large, okay. A good
size pool.
Yes, of RFQs.
Mr. Coronado, would it be, I heard Armando saying something about bringing it to the Facilities Committee. Maybe administration could wear it down. If there's 10, they could wear it down to 5. And then...
it's up to the board, whatever.
And that's what I was saying. Well, we talked about that last time, to wear it down to the 5 on those projects.
Yeah.
And then... but if we wanted to have two under that 3 and 4, this is the way it was. Are we giving the authorization to solicit for RFQs, Council?
So
are we going to give the authorization today to solicit the RFQs?
We can set up.
It's on for action.
So we would be the responsible party under that. Then the next one, the purchasing agent would go ahead and start with the RFQ and the RFP, but it, and then the review committee, we could have two or three, depending.
Two or three.
To overview how we do the health benefits.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then.
Then bring it to the facilities committee? Is that what you're saying?
The two or three, Armando, looks like it's under 8. Am I?
Or 9. No. It would be under the initial screening and review.
Number seven?
I mean, we could, this is a reg, we could do however we want, but that way we could have, the initial screening is when they do the presentations to the...
The initial screening is a presentation to the screen. Now, the way I've seen it done is exactly how you're presenting it, but it would be, in some districts, it would be like the facilities committee that would comprise the three board members with administration. That's one method that I've seen it done, and then they go through the presentation through the first batch, which is your, all of the RFQs that come in. That's brought down to whatever the board wishes the number to be. If it's five, then those five are brought for presentation to the actual board.
Is there?
But then you all can make a pick as to how many of the five, or they remain all five. You all five, or you one.
Is there a prior to even the facilities committee coming in and giving up their time, would there be a paper cut based on initial qualifications to even meet with them? Like if you got an architectural firm that just, no way.
Depending on how we put the RFQ in, and more than likely, since we're doing a pre-K through it, we're looking for firms that are, if that's what the board is choosing to go pre-K through 8, in this case, then we would look for firms that have experience in designing pre-K through 8s. Or if that's what the course, yeah, in general. And then of course, you could go that route, or you could go just architects that have experience in designing schools, and it would be, minimum has always been 5 years, a minimum of 5 years experience with school design. You know, we could write it that way. Then, as you're saying, Dr. Murphy, when that comes in, then we pull out the ones that don't meet that initial qualification, and then what's left over gets interviewed
by the initial facilities committee.
That is correct.
Because I wouldn't want to waste even the facilities committee time with groups that don't even meet minimum qualifications.
Correct.
And that's where the purchasing agent, and I think I'm looking more at seven, where it would be the same administration review committee, and this is where I got confused, because the last time they just reviewed the committee, and it was the same one here. I don't think the board should go in before the seven. It would have to be after the seven. And it would just be on part of the review committee. It would be to overview, and it would be less than three board members, three or less.
You're saying to actually sit in on the review committee and go over the bid proposals?
Like how the health benefits is.
On the number seven.
Yes. So that would be number seven, and then we would have another blurb here where it's presented to the board, the top five, to the committee, to the facilities committee, and then we can make that recommendation, and then from there, we could approve
that. I agree. I think we should obviously do a paper cut. Is that what we're talking about first, before it even goes to the administrative review? And you want two or three board members on the administrative review committee.
Which could be the facilities committee.
Could be.
Yes. It could be, which would be totally appropriate. Mm-hmm.
All right. But the other thing is, I want to have the board review the qualifications you're going out, especially for the PK through A. Now, I don't know that we need to be that restrictive of limiting 5 years of doing nothing but PK through 8s or whatever. Because if we were to take that, nobody would ever qualify. If you've never done a PK through 8, you're never going to get the chance.
Right? 5 years, you're correct. The 5 year.
I think that's a little too much.
Would be based on school design.
Yeah.
Yes. Then the administration review committee would be the facilities review committee with the three board members, because they review it on three and then they go to seven. So they review the advertisement, the RFQ, the RFP, and or bid documents.
So what you're suggesting is that an item three, what?
So the administration review committee would be a facilities review committee, and it would be with the people that are present, I mean that are described here, if anybody wanted to take someone out, or we could have everybody and then three or less board members.
You're saying to include, right?
Yeah.
Even at three.
So it would be not the administration review committee, it would be the facilities review committee.
So then.
All right.
I got it.
Right. So it would be the facilities review committee, and then so the people would review the advertisement and the RFQ proposal before it actually goes out, and then when it comes back to the initial screening and all that, we'll meet at on 7. Then once that screening is, we'll get rid of those that aren't qualified. Then we would insert within that one. We would insert here in between the Board of Trustees of selection would be a presentation to the Facilities Committee. The Finance and Facilities.
Just
the Finance Facilities Committee. This, so, the Facility Review Committee is just those people present and no more than three board members. And then once that screening has gone, then it'll go to the committee. To the Facilities and Finance Committee, then that committee will make a recommendation to the full board and we can vote on the selection afterwards. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm. On page 3 of 3, we'd have to change the definition of Administration Review Committee. It would be Facilities Review Committee. And it would include everything plus no more than three board members.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And if anybody is interested, then
which could be the facilities committee or
yes.
Yeah.
So that would be the process, and then that's just a reg. You don't have to make it a policy, right?
Mm-hmm. We can make those changes this week. Then the question then to the board goes back to the original thing that you were talking about. Do we want to have a separate RFQ for the pre-K through 8 school? Yes. I'm here, I'm seeing a lot of nods. And then everything else, do we want to have one additional RFQ for everything else? Or do we want to look at multiple RFQs for everything else?
No, just one or other RFQ.
No, what projects do we have? We have
gyms.
We have gymnasiums. We have
band room and locker room.
We have band room. We have could possibly even have the CMS paving project dependent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the front entry and everything, we have offices.
I thought we already had a design for that.
We do, yes. But some of the board members at the facilities meeting had not seen the plan,
right.
Which
did,
I do have.
Did we get that?
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, there's at least 6 or 7 that will require architectural services. Some, and then maybe even more when. If we ever get into like the mechanical systems, usually it's engineers, but never, you know, an engineer firm, but we usually want to include an architect because engineers won't do the architectural.
Let me get back real quick. We have two gymnasiums and we have what's going on at AMS. And AMS is some type of band room or gymnasium type of project.
Right,
and what's the total of that?
Total cost?
Yeah, the total budget that we have in the
model
program.
It's up to us to decide. Right?
Well, the gym at the high school is $2.1
million. Right. And I think that one is $2 million for the AMS. But again, in AMS, we're doing some major remodeling at the old gym and locker room.
New floor.
Which is extensive at work at AMS.
Which the total would be, because we discussed the band room, all that.
Right.
How much?
We're talking about 2.3 to 2.4 with the remodel.
Of the
so we have 2.1 for the gym at the high school, correct?
At the high school, yes.
And we have a projected 2.4.
Yeah, actually, here it is. It's at AMS, we have a band music room expansion and upgrade.
What's the total budget?
Which is 940 on that.
The full amount of that
okay, yeah, 940. And then you couple in the $2 million for the gym.
Okay. So it's about 3 million.
So it's about 3 million.
3 million AMS and 2 million high school.
And then the project is CMS, the large front
and then,
project.
And then we have a gym flooring redo, which is 205,000. So you're reaching around 3.2.
What about doing this? We have one for AMS
per
the school. We have one for the gym at the high school, and it could be small projects if we have. And then we have one at the
PK through 8.
What we can do is in the RFQ, you know, separate RFQs, we can itemize all projects, and then at the
differentiator,
yes, at the
by those
call,
three.
You can decide to give them all to one, or decide to just say, okay, let's go ahead. Maybe you can direct us, or you can decide to say, okay, one architect per campus.
I would be in favor of what the board is saying. I want one RFQ for the pre-K 8 alone.
Correct.
Nothing
correct.
Else.
Yes.
Just that.
Correct.
To get the
and
maximum exposure to that project.
Right. And we have that, and then it's the other project, the smaller project, would be a separate list.
Which would be at each campus.
Each campus, right.
And then a small project.
Campus, per campus.
Okay, that sounds good.
Everybody, how does that sound?
And I guess now, Council, do we have to go out for or make a motion about for RFQs on it?
Yep.
And do we have to detail that, or how do we do that?
Well,
or just go out for RFQs?
I think if you want to make a separate one for just the pre-K through 8, we need to identify that one.
Okay. So we would make a motion to go out for RFQs for the new pre-K through 8 campus. Would be a complete separate RFQ for that?
Right.
And that's my motion.
Okay. We have a motion before the board on agenda item E, 8E, and that is to direct administration to prepare for an RFQ for architectural services for the PK through 8 center school on the east.
I'll second.
And we have a second. Any further discussion or comments? How quickly is it going to take to send out the RFQs, come back?
I'll start tomorrow as far as putting my uh-huh. thing together, my information together, and then I'll get with Ron and give it to him so that there he can put the boilerplate and we could have it. It's possibly, I know on my end I could have the first part for Monday.
Can we look at
review so that they can have a look at it?
Mr. Chair, can we look at making the decisions near either December or January? So not necessarily a rush, but you all make sure we do it correct. It usually takes about 60 to 90, right, to get that. So that way we give them enough time. They could start next month.
Well,
look at your guidelines of when you want the school to be built.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that because of the timeline. We have a CMR delivery method. I want to get on top of that as soon as we can because it's going to take us some time before we get to a GMP. And if we don't get to GMP, we don't start.
That's correct.
So it's going to take some time to meet and secure bids before for our construction manager before they come back and we can do the GMP.
I mean, they're not probably going to do work during Christmas, so there's no point. As far as the design phase, I mean, because we could try to.
No, we actually want the architect to start the design phase. Yeah. Without that, we can't go out for these bids.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to take about 60 to 90 days for those. The whole process to take in place, and after that, once we hire the architect, it's going to take another 6 months to 9 months to get the design phase, and then by then we could have the GMP, so we could go out for the the whole project and then start on the project.
I think as far as...
And we could probably do some dirt work in between so we get the...
I don't know. I think we need to move on the PK through 8 as soon as possible.
I would not disagree. I think we need to move on it as soon as possible, but I think we've got some legroom because we're not going to have it built for the next school year. It will probably be built for the school year after that, and that would give us sufficient time on that timeline to have it done by June so we could be ready to move in by June and do whatever we need to on that.
Well, for a PK through 8 center, how long is the construction going to take? About a year and a half?
At least.
That's going to be cutting it really.
The RFQ process will take 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It has to be posted for 2 weeks, then a week to review it, a week to get it together. So probably in 5 weeks we can have that on the street, maybe even sooner.
So let's say we post now. By the time we do our review and stuff and it comes to the board, it's going to be October, November, anyways, right? The quickest we could get them done. So why delay it till December to do that? We're not going to end up hiring them until October, November.
Anyway, when the RFPs goes out, when are we looking at that date?
The RFP has to be posted for at least 2 weeks. We can leave it longer if you want to draw more attention, but 2 weeks delay.
Then
we can do posting for 3 weeks. It's 21 days we could do.
Just need to know the guidelines so I can put in the RFP when they're going to have to guarantee that their proposal is good to a certain date so that we make sure that's in there.
Can you just give us a timeline in place, send it in our Friday packet in a week or two when you've all gone together? And then that way we know, and then if anybody has any questions or concerns, we can call administration on that. Is that okay? And the sooner the better, but... Let's get the timeline in place so we know where we're projecting. And on the timeline, can you at least put the design phase as well as construction, how long we're looking at?
Design phase and estimated construction?
Yeah, so that way we know when we're actually looking at having the completion, certificate of completion or whatever.
The other issue is we've submitted on the sale of the bonds what projects we're supposed to be doing with these $22 million.
That's correct.
And that includes the two gyms. Mm-hmm. And the best time to do that would be next summer. Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be doing them starting the construction next fall.
Those are smaller projects, so we'll be able to...
I know that, but what I'm saying is we're going to have a lot of stuff on our plate.
Yeah, and I think the issue we discussed at the committee as well was the project list. We had like $16 million for that, and so it ate to the $22 million that we just sold on the bonds. So the suggestion we gave was at least put $3 or $4 million so we could start on the design phase for the new elementary school, that we could look at some of those other priorities that we could move from the second bond sale that was looking at that list and move it to the first and try to get those. And I think the summertime is the best time to take advantage of all of this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have to try and move on those projects because the design, I think we can get design and the bids on depending. We also need to put another agenda item here pretty shortly so to see how we're going to do the construction delivery method for the gymnasium and at the high school and for the one at the Alderete.
Right.
We need to have administration recommend that what delivery method we're going to do and then go out and hire a contractor or do a bid if it's going to be a hard bid. So I think...
we'll include that information in this request.
And you know what? Because we're looking at modifying what just the gym is, we might be better off doing a CMR because we're trying to utilize savings from other projects, that's not going to work well with a hard bid, right?
I agree. My recommendation would be on
CMR. That's probably what we'll need to do for the two big projects. So we can change.
All right, as well.
And the high school? Jim? Do you guys concur?
Yes, I agree. That would be my recommendation. That's how I would recommend that we go CMR.
Right. Guys? So let's, I guess we'll do the timeline. We have a motion before the board on the PK through 8, right? Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? That's the direct administration to go ahead and go out for RFQs and prepare and bring a timeline to the board.
And if I could just add, Mr. Gavin and Mr. Armendariz, I personally want to be very much involved in this RFQ. I want to review all documents before they're placed on any type of service. We have to be very careful. This is a unique opportunity for our district. We need to maximize it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd like to see if you can put what requirements you're going to put in the bid to the board on mm-hmm. for those.
That's all. Entire team of eight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion? All right, Tony?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
All right, we're still on agenda item 8E.
I would make another motion to look at the campus by campus type of projects and maybe bundle how administration had talked about earlier under those, so we could look at separating those or putting them together, as well as the campuses and the maybe small projects that we might have. That's my motion.
All right.
I'll second that.
We have a motion before the board on directing administration to request do an RFQ for architectural services for talking about district-wide projects and the possibility of assigning one architect or several architects to the various projects are bundled in the RFQ. Is that right?
Do you need any more direction than that, Ron or Ernesto, or is that?
I think once we do our brainstorm,
it'll come out. But I think the way you stated it, President Coronado, is correct. One or several.
One or several architects, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
That would be a decision that the board would make.
Right.
It would just come to you, and then you can all make that decision.
Okay. So that we would, I guess, then bring a minimum of 3 to 5 architects for that, right? Because we could end up picking 3.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct. So if you know, well, when we get to that point, it's really the board would probably still have a chance to tell us, okay, so we're going to narrow it down to
right.
three. You can say 5. After you look at the list, you may just like to say, hey, that's there's enough in there for 5. And you know, then you'll direct us to that.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the board in this item? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Discussion, possible reconsideration, and possible action regarding contract for wetland renovation engineering for Bill Childers Elementary School and the CISD Support Services Complex.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Rodriguez.
Well, I had just a quick question. Right. You know, the last time we discussed that it would be $6,000 for the engineering design.
Actually, the recommendation was the investigation in schematic design, what they call schematic design, would be $6,000. The construction and bidding documents, or the documents themselves, would be $14,000. That is their recommended. And I think if the way I wrote the recommendation was not to exceed $20,000.
Okay, and I guess the question that I have here is, would we be able to get the $6,000? What does that include first?
Well, the complexity of the word, I think that Mrs. Cáceres had a problem with, was the design, the terminology for design. And where that comes from is that the engineer would actually, remember we have to do some regrading in that area to kind of work that berms around the wetlands. And that's what they mean by design. They'd have to show, they'd have to do some drawing, put some drawings together in order for them to, for those, for contractors to be able to bid and be able to say, okay, this is how I'm going to move the earthwork in here and create the berms that I need, rather than go out there and say, just build me some earth berms out here. And that is the reference to the design that he was taught, correct me if I'm wrong, Tabu, when we were holding conversations with the engineer. But that was his reference to the design. There is some design involved in the berms. It's not, it's part of the repairs that we're doing, and he's very conscious that the terminologies that we're gonna use in the scope of work will be repairs. Here, the way he broke it down is just for, you know, it's a semantics, it's just to explain what he'll be doing for those services, for our sake.
Monica.
Mr. Armendariz, I recall at the last meeting you stated that we did in fact have drawings, but they weren't stamped as built, correct?
That's correct. As far as I can see, there's some old drawings that we have on hand that were actually part of their NSI's original work. And they're not stamped as that I could see, they were not stamped as as-builts.
Okay, so my question is, when included in this proposal that you're showing us, these schematic designs will be stamped as built or no?
No, the as-built actually comes in once the work has been completed, and mm-hmm. if we make modifications, then they'll show those modifications in the drawings, and then they become as-built. They'll be the final drawings. In other words, they put a drawing together mm-hmm. with spec, even let's call it scope of work, okay? And once that goes out to bid, it gets bid. But during the process of repairs, we may come across certain things that and then the engineer will make some corrections and changes to it. Once we do that, we document it, and we put it down, and we'll draw on the drawing, and we'll say, okay, we moved it 3 feet over instead of 2 feet over. You know, because it benefits us to do something in a berm with a berm. Then once that happens, we date it, and that becomes the aspect. Then it's a historical piece of document.
And this won't affect our when TCQ comes in, if they see that and they see the date stamped after the fact, it's not going to cause any kind of problems or violations or.
No, it shouldn't, because even in construction. Mm-hmm. All the drawings, you know, as the building is getting built or anything's going on, there's some things that change. And when they do, we make that modification. Sometimes we find out that, hey, it's better if we make the berm somewhere else instead of where the drawings originally showed it, because we can save some money. And it's still achieving the same thing. And that's all it does, is it just says, we just made some modifications to the initial drawing. And it won't affect TC.
Okay.
It's because I was thinking of first rate, and that's different. My question now, so that's $6,000 to get the design.
Get the design, yes. Okay. Now the bidding and construction, the reason I say not to exceed 20 is because the engineer still needs to sit down with Babu and myself, and we're going to kind of guide him to what we want. It may turn out to be that after it's all said and done, he'll say, well, you know what, I'm going to be doing less work than what we thought we were going to be doing. And the intent is to really bring down the price as much as we can.
I guess on the $14,000, you're saying it's bidding and construction documents, correct?
Which would be what we consider the scope of work.
And would Mr. Gavin, would you be able to do that scope of work under having the design already?
I couldn't do it. You're going to need an engineer that's licensed to do that. I can't.
Okay.
I can't say that they need.
You know, no, but under having the design, would we be able to, from there, be able to go out for
it? As far as preparing the bidding documents?
Yes.
Normally, when we hire an architect to do that, that's their job. They usually do that. And it's to protect the district, because if there's an error and something's left out or whatever, we're not held responsible. The other they'll be responsible.
We'll actually just give it to purchasing so that they can still review it, because there might be some boilerplate information that's required to be added to it, and then that's when they modify their spec to meet whatever purchasing's district-wide desires are or requirements are.
Yeah, we put their scope of work in with our boilerplate, and that's how.
Mr. Gallant, you said architect. You mean engineer?
I mean engineer. Engineer, architects, both the same way. Some architects do it too. So G&A has done similar projects to us. I think we did the bathroom remodels at AMS. They did the same thing. They actually did the bidding documents and everything. They did all that work for us.
Monica.
Okay, so let me understand this correctly. You're going to have him prepare the construction and bidding documents, the scope of work, and all that. Is this individual going to sit on the committee to select the person who's going to get the work?
Probably not. We had decided that we could handle the information internally, that approach, because if he does, then we would have to be bringing him in to another level of expense, and we wouldn't need that. Once we have the information that we need, then it's like saying, you know, the board could even select because it goes out to bid, and the most responsible bidder is the one that's selected, because the bidder is bidding based on the drawings, on the drawing and specifications that he put together. So really, he doesn't need to be there. You know, they don't need to be there. But in conversations that I've had with him, he says if you want me to, I'll be there.
I mean, I'm just trying to understand, because we're saying you've conveyed to us that you need him and why you need him, but I just, as far as when you're interviewing these people, when you're looking at their requests, their qualifications, how do you feel comfortable that you'll be able to say yay or nay or this person? Because I know last time we spoke, you said you weren't comfortable because this was not your area. Do you feel comfortable with this?
No. Yes, I feel comfortable once the specifications are written, because I I'm able to be able to, once the specs are given to me, I can read them. I know exactly what we want, specifically what they want. Pablo has the experience with respect to some of the terminologies that are regarding that relate to wetlands. So between the both of us, we would feel very comfortable with that. And having said that, I know that I talked to the engineer, Pete Munoz, and he stated too, he told me that if you want me there, I'll be there. It's not going to be additional cost. I'll be there for the whole thing. And if it's no additional cost, yeah, we would have him in, definitely. Okay.
That's happening.
Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion to approve, as presented by the administration, the contract for wetlands renovation engineering for Bill Childress Elementary in the CISD support service complex, and not to exceed $20,000.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item F, right? Any further discussion? Patsy? No? Somebody?
Just real quick. I just want to, Mr. Adelman, that is when we get that, you're looking at some savings. Hopefully, we could see some savings in that, and if you could present that to us.
Oh, definitely. It'll be included in that long itemized list. That's where we're showing where the savings end up picking up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any further comments? Doc?
Through the chair, Steve, I just want to be sure, Amado's trying to explain it to me. We approved the full project in the last board meeting, but here is a reconsideration, and now we're only approving the first part of the project.
What we thought, it was not to exceed $50,000, and then now it's $20,000, but it's just for the design, the bidding, and construction documents. And that's not for the work. This is just hiring for the services to perform that, and then we're going to go out for a bid on our proposals on the services that need to be rendered to finish the project.
Was that included in the approval from the last time around?
I believe it was.
It's in the minutes.
I would like to say that it was.
I believe it was.
In the minutes.
Because that's how it was presented to the board. And the decision was to go with that.
What have been at the
further discussion? When we got into further discussion, the reason I had the 50 was because if there was a need to have them for
July 12th,
work, and right? Then it came back to a different recommendation.
24.
And it's pretty much not the same services that we're asking for, right? That 50, no, not 50 was 50,000 was the other was that I could have done.
What then? Renovation engineering only.
Tony can read
the
president's
sheet. Okay.
From the meeting of July 18th, it was on page 24 of your board book. And it was moved by Armando Rodriguez, seconded by Lori Searles, and carried unanimously to approve the contract for wetland renovation engineering for Bill Childers Elementary School and the CISD support.
So it was only for the engineering then?
So it was not for the entire project?
That's what the minutes say.
I thought in the original it was for the entire project.
No, I knew it wasn't for the entire, because there was discussion on the fact that we would still have to go out and render the services needed to complete the project. This was just for the first phase. Remember, this was the first phase, which was to get the design.
They're going to bring in bids.
Okay.
Which kind of proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's really not a change then.
It's just we lowered the 50 to 20.
Was the original amount 50,000?
Yes.
Not to exceed.
That's why the motion.
On this one, it is on the
no, on this one, yeah. So what you're saying is you're wanting to go back and address the same item, which is the contract for engineering, which you want to put a limit on.
Right.
That's fine.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Any further discussion from the board? Tony?
Mrs. Casares?
Yes.
Mr. Pardo?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Item AG, discussion of possible action regarding ponding area riprap for Olivetta Middle School and Garcia Elementary School.
All right.
And just real quick, this is early bird project number 6. Is that what we're looking at?
Early bird project number 6.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
That's all right.
And the recommendation here is?
The recommendation, when the number came in, there are two projects. One is happening at Garcia Elementary. The other one is happening at Alcadete Middle School. We put them all both together to bid or for proposals in hopes that maybe one contractor would give us a better price for both. But it turned out that it's in the best interest of the district to go in and break it up into two contracts simply because the numbers came in lower that way. Our recommendation is for for GES to go to RC Contract Concrete, AMS to High Ridge General Contractor, and I would like to inform the board that on the cost for GES, if you look at the following sheet in your packet, it's supposed to be $23,000 rather than $29,233. We transposed it, but it's supposed to be $23,000 for Garcia Elementary and $23,322 for AMS.
And the people that are being presented are qualified to do the work?
Yes, they are. RC Concrete is in the Region 19 book impact. Both of them are.
Okay. I see here that only three people were called out of Region 19? Because there was Job and all that other stuff that we...
Job is in the list, but Job actually supplies concrete. And they just have they put themselves in the list because they supply.
Okay, so
but there was a couple of other contractors that
and we did put in a call. Sometimes they just don't return your call. You know, we put in a call asking them, inviting them to come out and walk the site with you for the presentation, and sometimes they don't return calls. And we've had occasion like that, like Mirador responded.
See, they made an obvious mistake.
But they made a very, very big mistake because they were also giving us pricing. In fact, they were giving pricing to Pablo on another project. And something happened there that they lost. They got the projects mixed up, and their number came in at 5,000. And I called them up and told them, hey, your you've got a numerical error here. They saw it and they recognized it, and they said, you know what? It's too late for us to, at this point, to give you a number. So we'd like to pull our proposal. So you know, of course, we're going to pull a proposal as they requested, because there's just no way $5,000 is probably more than, I mean, but less than even the contract.
I think something that we need to look at when they provide those quotes is not communicating back. Just have those quotes, and if are we allowed by any contract?
No, there is a limit on which you can hold somebody to. It's a complete mistake of understanding on the bid that you're going to hold them to. It was so far from what we
had. Okay. Well, I guess in that case, you're recommending High Ridge for Aldehete and RC Concrete for Garcia?
That's correct.
Is RC, I know High Ridge has done work for the district and it's been good, but has RC, do they have a reputation?
They do. I've not worked with them here at this district. I've used them elsewhere.
Do we call any references just to make sure we have a...
We can, and we also, when we do the process of opening up as a new vendor, we also check their backgrounds, some information on them as well.
Okay. And I guess that's your all's recommendation, and I'll make a motion to approve Aldehete for the school stormwater control from High Ridge at the amount of $23,322, and RC, the other contractor being RC Concrete, the total of $23,000, and that's for Garcia Elementary School on
riprap. I'll second the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on agenda item F to award the contract for the ponding riprap for Aldehete Middle School and Garcia Elementary School, as presented by administration. Any further discussion from the board? Tony.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Charles?
Yes.
And I would just like to comment, I like the fact that we have the scope of work here. Is that your drawing? Is that freehand or is that...
I do a freehand because I don't have AutoCAD.
Well, that's not bad.
I thought you had that.
No, I don't have it. That's why I was waiting for. I'm waiting for a. Even if we did.
The district did have a copy of it. I mean, it might be outdated, but they did have a copy.
It might be. There might be a copy, but I know that in my office I don't have it. And even if I did, the computer that I have wouldn't be able to handle the. It's not big enough. So we've requested from IT, purchased a request for a larger capacity computer in order for it to handle CAD.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been having to do these manually just to get the thing done.
It's pretty good. All right. Next item.
H. Discussion and possible action regarding re-roof of weight room at Kennedy Hill Middle School. With contractor option to bid on support services facility metal roof coat system.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Just real quick, the last time you had presented Garland as the contractor, my concern here, and now you're recommending High Ridge.
Yes, Garland's number, when we went back, I took the opportunity of, because originally I only had two quotes. I had Garland that I presented to the board, but I had another quote, and that was, the other quote was from Roof Care, but I had that one. Now, High Ridge did not provide me a quote because, again, it was a time element thing, so since we tabled it, I was able to go back and request that third quote on all of them, and at the same time requested if any of them had wanted to revisit their numbers, that this was an opportunity for them to do so. I was able to pull to get the quotes from three vendors.
Okay, and I guess is High Ridge on the cooperative for roofing?
Yes.
For roofing?
Yes. Which surprised me that they ended up being lower because they put their overhead on the roofing company.
Okay.
it just surprised me. I was surprised that that Garland did not come in lower than him.
And what we're only looking for right now is the middle school weight room, not the support services?
We're looking for both. Mm-hmm. What I did is I went ahead and piggybacked on this bid because even though the support services project is in the bond, in this bond, it's not one of the early bird projects, but I figured that we could probably get a better price if we coupled them together.
And I guess my concern, I know Garland does specific work with roofing, and High Ridge does general contract. That's
actually
they were
the contractors. If I may, the roofer is Daniels Roofing. That's who gave the price for High Ridge.
And so we're looking at BUR instead of single ply TPO.
Well, it's the board's. As we discussed, I went ahead and requested the built-up roof price and TPO price. TPO is what we currently have on some of our campuses, that thermoplastic olefin product, which is kind of like a rubber, what we know as a rubber roof. Okay.
It's like the snow roof.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a white roof.
It's a white roof.
What does the administration? I mean, what would the board prefer, to continue the same type of product we have on all our roofs, or go with the BUR for a difference of, is it? Nine.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's about 30 some.
A difference of $9. The lower one is High Ridge.
It's a difference of about $9,000.
Yeah.
This is the weight room.
This is just the weight room.
A space that is more like a garage environment than a classroom environment.
But my thing is, do we want consistency across the board? I mean, we were
What's the length of life on the roofing systems, the differences?
Well, the experience that I have on the roofs that we the built-up roof with respect to the TPO, the built-up roof is they're giving us a 20-year warranty. The TPO, if I'm not mistaken, both of them have offered a 15-year warranty. The difference is TPO is a very good roof, as is built up. The difference is that built up is easier for us to, for the district
repair.
To repair. For TPO, I do need to send our people out for training on that.
And it's different equipment and material.
The fact that they have to be trained by that roofing manufacturer, otherwise we lose the warranty.
Okay.
All of our roofs are TPO, right?
Not all of them. The high school is built up roof.
Well, that's a new project.
Yeah.
This one's TPO.
This one is
went TPO.
Right. TPO and metal roof. Right. That's correct. I think the latest, the last ones that you did were all TPO. That's correct.
But by a different contractor than this.
It was done by SRO or commercial working? CRS, yes. CRS.
What do y'all?
I don't know. I think for this particular facility, I think we should go for the built-up roof. The price difference and the warranty just don't add up.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we approve High Ridge General Contractors for $74,744 under the penalty of middle school weight room roof replacement and 64 roof care for total of $64,795.55 for the support service facilities option bid.
I would like to add before the vote is that the work at the middle school, they're actually going to have to remove metal decking, so it's included in there because it's really rusted.
Yeah, I remember being in there.
So they're going to build
rusted. There's holes in it.
There's holes. Yeah, they're
rusted. There's holes in it.
At least 25% of the deck is going to be removed, replaced.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item H. Any further discussion?
Sorry, I didn't hear who made the second. Thank
you, Lori. Any further discussion or comments? All right, Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cornell?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
All right, next agenda item.
Consider approval of 2011 bond, Part A priorities.
May I say something?
Yes, Mr. Ramadez.
Item I is really information. It should have read for information to the board, simply because the board has requested the Utilities Committee to see the second part of the bond bond items so that the board can decide whether those items that are in Part A should be the ones, or if they so choose, they may replace them with others. So it's mostly for information, just to let you know. That's how we should.
And then we could review that at the next facilities meeting. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next item.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Very much.
Consider approval of curriculum and instruction positions, Ms. Carrasco.
Can I make a motion to approve?
All right.
I make a motion to approve the curriculum and instruction positions as presented by offered by administration, the science curriculum coordinator, the mathematics curriculum coordinator, the social studies advanced academics curriculum coordinator, and the early childhood lead teacher.
Just a correction on that, it is early childhood coordinator, not lead teacher.
Early childhood coordinator.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second on agenda item J to approve the curriculum and instruction positions of the science curriculum coordinator, mathematics curriculum coordinator, social studies advanced academics curriculum coordinator, and early childhood coordinator. Any questions or comments from the board? I have a question. Pam, Ms. Maldonado made a comment tonight about these coordinators being more like lead teachers and that we're really duplicating services at the campuses. You want to address that?
I spoke with her, but she did ask me about it. And I think the lead teacher was throwing her.
Yeah.
I told her it was really meant to be a coordinator, and that these coordinators are meant to support the instructional coordinators at the campus and provide the training so that they can in turn train the teachers.
Right.
And be content experts and provide those resources that they need.
All right, so you addressed that with her.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because when I was saying, I said, she was saying there were lead teachers. I was saying, that's not what we approved.
Right. And
it wasn't.
And it was just a seminar up there.
Okay.
She's a coordinator.
All right.
And the job descriptions that were included in your packet at board.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Anything further? Tony.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Cornaro?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Motion passes and takes us to adjournment by unanimous consent of the board.
Woo! It's time. We're doing it.
Yes.
That's yours, Tony.
Thank you.